When you eat dinner tonight, think about this. Part of your meal, perhaps the green beans or the pistachios in your ice cream, was likely grown in California's Central Valley. About a quarter of everything that Americans eat comes from the vast bowl that lies between the Sierra Nevada mountains and the coastal hills. Agriculture is still California's biggest business, $27 billion last year, and most of that revenue comes from the Central Valley. But valley farming is under increasing pressure from environmentalists, from developers, and from global competition. Many farmers say that their very survival is at stake. Their critics say they can survive, but only if they change their ways. As we continue our series on the Central Valley, NPR's John McChesney examines the future of farming in an agricultural region that many regard as a national treasure.
The water rushing through this dam is irrigation runoff from a large section of the northern Central Valley. The irrigation drain, as it's called, is the size of a small river, and its turbid brown plume of topsoil billows out into the dark green waters of the Sacramento River. Tom Kimball does water sampling for the Aquatic Toxicity Lab at the University of California at Davis. He says there's often more than dirt in that swirling cloud of runoff.
We've seen in the winter that the insecticides used to combat aphids and other insects move off-site into the sloughs and eventually make their way into the Sacramento River and down into the Delta and Bay.
The insecticides that are the biggest problem are called organophosphates, and Tom Kimball says they kill aquatic life that's part of the food chain for fish. This has focused the energies of environmental groups on the fact that for 20 years, farms in California have been exempt from the state's clean water laws. Jonathan Kaplan is with the Natural Resources Defense Council.
We have a virtual silent spring happening right now in the Central Valley because of pesticide discharges to surface waters and other agricultural pollutants.
Many people would disagree with that characterization, but California does use about a third of all the pesticides applied in the United States, and most of that third lands on the Central Valley. Suburban residents fear that pesticides sprayed from aircraft will drift into homes and schools or seep into the groundwater. Lawsuits have been filed, and now farmers will most likely lose their exemption from clean water standards on January 1st. Farmers also recently lost a 30-year-old exemption from clean air standards, and Valley dairies are under attack for groundwater pollution. So farmers are feeling besieged here in the Garden Spot of America, where there are 300 growing days in a year. Jerry Haslam has written a history of the Great Valley.
It is this warm weather you can count on day after day after day after day that allows the growers to add water to the admixture now in the places where they want it, not where nature put it, and create this marvelous 300-plus crop, massive, gigantic farm. The magnitude of production there is almost unimaginable. The richest farming region in the history of the world, by a long shot.
If you were a crow and flew down this 400-mile-long valley laced with 20,000 miles of rivers, streams, and irrigation canals, you'd see fields of rice fading into fields of cotton, fading into fields of alfalfa, and vast orchards of pistachios, peaches, apricots, and almonds. Near the sprawling town of Modesto, Paul Wenger farms almonds. 70% of the world's almonds come from this valley. Under the shaded symmetry of his orchard, Wenger watches as a tree shaker harvests his crop. A huge mechanical lobster claw reaches out from the four-wheeled machine and grasps the trunk of each tree. The tree dances, becomes a blur, and an iridescent shower of leaves and nuts cascades to the ground. Wenger is tall and tanned, wearing a Western hat cocked to one side. Wenger feels beset by regulations, and he characterizes the latest alarm about poisons and irrigation runoff as a pesticide witch hunt.
This huge regulation that comes through, I have no way of passing it on. And I can't deal with the regulation I got now. I mean, I don't know the next generation is going to want to deal with it. Part of the reason they're getting out of it is, you know, we're not going to do the paperwork anymore. You know, a farmer wants to sit on a tractor, he wants to go out and work in the fields and walk and look at the trees and produce the crops that they have and see a good harvest come in. Today, you're sitting behind a desk filling out paperwork, filling out more permits, more forms, and you're doing it for people that don't understand what you're doing or why you're doing it.
Wenger correctly points out that pesticide use in California is already more regulated than anywhere else. He says he needs to spray for spider mites that will destroy his trees if he doesn't. He needs to spray for worms because consumers won't tolerate a worm-gnawed almond. And he needs to use herbicides to keep down the weeds on his orchard floor so he can sweep up his almonds at harvest time. But some organic farmers are doing without chemicals, so why can't he?
I think most farmers would love to go organic because, number one, the cost of the crop protection chemicals that we use, the materials, are expensive.
But going organic is also expensive. It takes 3 years to purify your land. It requires more labor, and the risks can be higher.
We would drop all the chemical aids that we use. If we, at the end of the year, we could say, this is our crop. These are my costs. I want a 10% return on my investment, or even 5%. You know, this is what I need to be paid.
But farmers don't dictate prices, Wenger says. They have to take what they can get. So he feels that chemicals are necessary for even the narrow margin he earns now. To the north of Paul Wenger's almond orchard, not far from Sacramento, Jerry Rominger farms a lot more almonds, 1,400 acres of them. He built his own processing plant, and he watches as 25 tons of almonds just dumped by a truck shunt through the huge machinery that first separates the green hull and then the shell from the nut beads.
But we're cracking them by size. The biggest ones are cracked, and the kernel falls out and the shell goes out, but they're all put back together. By, you know, big ones and little ones are all put back together. Most of them are pretty close to the same size.
The almonds finally rattle down into dozens of wooden boxes, each one holding over 2,000 pounds of nut meats. Back in his office, Rominger worries that the valley is surrendering to suburbia. Farming on the edge of developed areas, he says, is very difficult because residents don't like chemicals or dust or noise. But he will soon have a 400-acre industrial park right next to his farm.
Our board of supervisors, it appears to me, feels that their answer to their fiscal problems is development. And they don't care what it is. They're welcoming anyone. The dollar bill speaks, and if real estate is worth more for a house than it is for a peach orchard, it's going to become a house. And until there's some laws or something to the contrary.
Right now, there is nothing to the contrary, and that's why there's concern about the future of America's biggest and most productive garden. R. Ford Dennison runs a project at the University of California at Davis designed to study long-term sustainable agricultural practices over the next 100 years.
Farmers are going to need to recognize that they have to negotiate on these issues, and I think many farmers are aware that environmental issues are important and they're concerned about environmental issues, and it's going to mean environmentalists meeting farmers halfway. I mean, if everybody insists on, you know, having it 100% their way, then we're going to end up with wall-to-wall subdivisions, and that's going to be sad for everybody.
Dennison says he knows most environmentalists would like to live next to a wilderness area. But in the Central Valley, he says, they may have only two options if present trends continue, living next to an orchard or next to a strip mall. John McChesney, NPR News, in California's Central Valley.
In our next report on California's Central Valley, John McChesney looks at the viability of a more sustainable agriculture there. For more on the series, you can visit our website at npr.org.